runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love, your love, your
Praise the Lord again, church. You can be seated tonight. We started a series back last Wednesday night already? Sometimes it seems like it's been a whole lot longer than that. It seems like a lot of time's gone by since last Wednesday night. But the series we titled, What Just Happened? God Showed Up. And I'm going a number of different directions with this because I believe that God desires, I know God desires to show up in the midst of his people. And sometimes we come to church not expecting him to show up, but I believe God is here because he should be inside of each and every one of us that are filled with the Holy Ghost. And I'm just going to continue. We're going to continue on this journey. We're going to keep building upon the foundation. We talked about faith, and we talked about looking through the pages of the Word of God when we see all of these saints in the Old Testament and saints in the New Testament, and they're just like you and I. They were seeking a relationship with God, and at times they were talking to a God that they had never seen, perhaps never heard in a verbal manner. But yet they were able to take and trust in that God because of faith. And they grew in, as they pursued after this God, they grew in wisdom and they grew in knowledge of him. Just as today, we continue to grow in wisdom and continue to grow in knowledge as we begin to understand more about our God as we read and study the pages of his word that he has written for us. So they went from being called to being commissioned to do his will. And the journey that we all are on, it's a simple journey. I say simple, it's sometimes very complex, but there's some simple principles within this journey. And one of the most simple principles that we can learn and that we can practice is that is the principle of faith. Now, it's often a very, very difficult for us to understand when it comes to faith, because we read in Hebrews 11, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. That means it's a substance. Brother Caskey spoke on this on Sunday evening, so I'm not going to reiterate too much of that. You can listen to Sunday evening's message. I encourage you to listen to that, but it's the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying as of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had testimony that he pleased God. Now, this is a very important scripture, verse 9 here. It says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. That's a very, very pointed and blunt statement. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. You say, well, I don't have faith. The scripture tells us that every man is given a measure of faith. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So we're on our third message in this series. I would really consider this to be our fourth message, because Elder Caskey on Sunday evening. His message fit right into our series, and I thank him so very much. We did not sit down and plan that ahead of time, but I'm very excited about Sunday night and where God is taking us. But I want to start off this message tonight by asking one very simple yet vital question. And that is a question for all of us collectively. And that question is, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Have you ever felt when you were a young kid, perhaps traveling, going on vacation, you're going to Disneyland and you live in International Falls, Minnesota, and you're driving all the way to Orlando, Florida. And you've got four kids piled in the back of the old station wagon, and you got it full of games. You got an old styrofoam cooler. I'm reminiscing a little bit about my past, even though I didn't live in International Falls. We lived in Shawnee, Wisconsin, and would make that trek to Texas, and it seemed like it took forever to get there. We would drive and drive and drive, and I don't know about the rest of you, but other than Nebraska, Illinois has got to be the longest, most boring state that there is. It is long, long, long from Rockford all the way down. We just went through to East St. Louis, but if you go down to Kentucky and you're driving from all the way from Rockford, Illinois, all the way down to Carbondale, I believe it is, or Collinsville, I'm not for sure, but anyway, somewhere down in that neck of the woods, Illinois is like forever. And as you drive, and we didn't have a lot of air-conditioned cars back when I was younger, or if we did, they didn't seem to work very well. But the windows would be rolled down, and the wind would be blowing through. And I remember one trip we had made. We were decided to stop at my aunt and uncle's house in Lawton, Oklahoma, and we were leaving Lawton, Oklahoma, headed home, and it just was so hot. It was in August, and it took us forever to get home. We drove and drove and drove and drove, and my dad never liked to spend the night in motels. Very rarely did we ever stay in a motel. So as we're driving down the road, we're constantly asking the question, are we there yet? And finally, my dad, the classic was we would get in, and before we even got out of town, Steve would be asking, how far are we? How far are we, Dad? And I remember one trip, my dad looks at Steve and says, I don't want you to ask me one more question on how many more miles it is until we get to Texas. So Steve thought for a while, and you could tell he knew that he couldn't do that. So finally he looks at Dad, and he says, Dad, he says, I'm not going to ask how far we are from Texas because you told me I couldn't ask that anymore, but how far are we from here? Are we there yet? Well, I just want to tell you how I feel. I feel we're very close. We're very, very close. So very, very close. But I want to share some things with you tonight. I believe in this new day, this new season of our lives as we go into a whole new season with God. I want to read a passage out of the Old Testament, 1 Kings chapter 17, 1 through 9. And it's concerning, we just kind of brushed on this a little bit on Sunday morning, but Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word. I want you to understand something here. God didn't tell Elijah how long he wanted. He didn't go to Elijah and say, listen, I want you to go tell Ahab, and I want you to tell him it's not going to rain for 3 years. This is very, very important because God backed up what the man of God said. And I don't know if you feel the same way or not, but I believe that God will back up your words of faith. And when then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And there will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and stayed at the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. When the word of the Lord came to him saying, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. Now, as I said, we referenced this a few times, kind of bounced around this a little bit on Sunday morning. But tonight I want to dig a little bit deeper into this account. And we really need to understand why these stories are in the Bible. You see, we look at them sometimes as Bible stories. We ask our children, I want to come in and I want to read a Bible story to you tonight. But these are more than just Bible stories. These are what I like to term as life lessons by the saints of God that have gone before us. This is Elijah writing and informing us, telling his story on how God worked through him and in him and provided for him. And there we are, generations later, we can read them, study them, and glean from them. You see, this is not some dark secret that God seeks to hide from us, but they're just everyday lessons in life that will help us get through the challenges that we face as we move forward in God. So the first thing that we see is Elijah was experiencing the blessings of the Lord, just like so many of us here tonight have experienced and are experiencing the blessings of the Lord. We see in verse 6 that the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. It couldn't get any better for Elijah. He was out of the grasp or the reach of wicked Queen Jezebel, and he was in a forest that seemingly no one knew here where he was at. He had this brook right outside of his cave, perhaps, and every morning, right at breakfast time, the ravens would show up, and they would be bringing him bread. They would be bringing him bacon. Probably not bacon, but I'm just imagining if it was me there every morning, I would go in, there would be a little basket, and in that basket was some orange juice, and perhaps there was a croissant, and that croissant had some ham and cheese in it, and this went on, and it couldn't get any better. But you see, what began to happen is he was experiencing the supernatural every day. How many of you have had a bird, as you sit on your patio, a robin perhaps, bring up and drop right in your lap a Twinkies bar or a Twix bar? I've never had that happen. I've had them leave deposits on my car window and my car roof, but I've never had them drop a snack into my lap. But see, he was experiencing the supernatural every day, and we experience blessings from God every day. And sometimes it's very easy to begin to take those blessings for granted. So as I look at this portion of Scripture, that Elijah was experiencing the move of God and the blessings were flowing, and he must have been feeling pretty good. Have you ever been there before? You're working for the Lord in ministry and all the blessings are flowing. Things are going just perfect. Breakthroughs are taking place in every area of your ministry. Miracles are happening. Growth is taking place. Everything seems to be just unstoppable. But then you notice things begin to shift. You see, the brook of blessings perhaps begin to slow down just a bit. You notice as you look at the brook and you drink every day that the water level is a much lower. And you hadn't quite noticed that in the times past, but you are in the middle of a 3-year famine and drought, and things begin to dry up upstream, and that begins to affect you where you are at. The raven that was bringing the blessings begins to stop showing up. And the method that God was using to bless Elijah was no longer beginning to work. You see, this is a very important juncture that Elijah finds himself at here in this wilderness by this brook. And I believe that here tonight that Calvary Gospel Church and some of us, we are at this point right now where that God is blessing and things are happening. But as we look at our blessings, perhaps they have begun to slow down or even dry up altogether. Now we can look at this in two ways, really. Is this a God thing? Or has the enemy breached an area in our life and the enemy is beginning to cause pain and affliction upon our life? I want to look at this more as Elijah was faced with, because we have to understand that he is the one that commanded that it not rain for 3 years. It was because of his words that God decided that he was going to back up Elijah. And for 3 years, it did not rain. And finally, the blessings that he had been enjoying were beginning to dry up. And I think when we look at our lives tonight, we can look and say, okay, God, what is happening in my life? You see, the old, when we look at things like this, Elijah, as he sat there, he had a choice to make. And it was a very important choice. He had a choice to either stay at the dry brook and begin to complain to God, or he had a choice to seek after God for another plan. I like to look at this perhaps as the old was outdated and no longer met the purpose, and it was a time, the time had come, or that God said to Elijah, I've got something else in store for you. Perhaps the method that God used yesterday in our lives were designed for yesterday's blessings. They were designed for yesterday's growth. They were designed for yesterday's plans and yesterday's dreams. But today is a new day. The method that worked yesterday for Elijah was no longer working today. The avenue that God was using yesterday, he was not using today. The style that was in yesterday, when we look at our lives, we look at our culture, we look at all the various things that are around us, the styles that were in yesterday are no longer in today. I remember as a young teenager growing up, I grew up most of my teenage years was in the 70s and in the early 80s. I turned into my 20s in the early 80s, but I began to think about back when I was going through high school and in the late 70s and 80s, how important it was that your hair was just right. We didn't see very many guys with butched short hair like you see today. It seems like nowadays you see every kind of hair. But back then, if you didn't look like Sean Cassidy, you just didn't have it. Some of you are laughing because you know that. How many people would go out on a dinner date and your hair was everywhere because that was the 70s and the 80s and you had to wear your fashion sweatbands? We'd have guys come to school and they'd have sweatbands and they had to have one on their head and the ones on their arms had to match. Girls wore sweatbands and everything, Britannica jeans. If you didn't have Britannica jeans and if they weren't purple or some kind of a cherry corduroy, you just weren't it. I hated corduroy. I absolutely hated it. Not quite as bad as double knit or liver, but it was close. It was hot. It was uncomfortable. But I went and I saved up for weeks working at Burger King, making $1.90 or so an hour to buy me a pair of Britannica jeans that were almost $20. And I was styling. I didn't realize when I washed them that you couldn't just throw them in the dryer. And I got one good run out of my purple Britannica jeans. But you see, you'd go to school, and if you wore a shirt, you'd have your collar up because that was a cool thing. Now everybody looks at me and will tell me that my collar's up. Get your collar down. Get it tucked in. You got to look right. You see, things have changed a lot. I remember the first time I got a cell phone. It was like a backpack. Now you look at it, and it would only do one thing. It would only make a phone call. And your receiver was like a CB handle, you know? But when you look at this, you can probably think of all sorts of things that you did when you're growing up just to be in style, just to fit in. And Elijah found himself in a place where things were changing. He could either stay with the old or allow God to give him a significant upgrade in his life and his ministry. I spoke about this, about my truck, about the upgrades in my truck. I've got a fairly new truck. And it just boggles my mind at the different things that thing will do. And I look at, as I said, our phones and the technology. And technology keeps getting better and better. I mean, I like it that my phone just does just about everything. I'm trying to figure out how I can take and microwave a Pop-Tart with it, but they haven't got that far yet on it, probably because you would burn a hole in your pocket. But nevertheless, I mean, technology just keeps getting better and better, and it keeps enhancing. And there's nothing wrong with that unless you get into that, and technology can get you in a lot of trouble as well. But you see, when we look at all of this, not only does technology change or get enhanced to be more effective, but Elijah found himself in a place where he needed to reposition himself. He needed to reposition his ministry, or he was going to have to stay at that dry brook and weather out the famine. You see, what was working before was not working now. Just like styles change and technology change, there's also methods in ministry that also change. If we really think about it, methods are a lot different from when I first started in the ministry. I remember over on Milwaukee Street getting involved in the bus ministry. Brother Caskey probably remembers these days we had the old mimeograph machines. And we would carve out on that piece of sheet of whatever. And you could write on it with just a pen or a paintbrush end or something. I don't remember how that worked, but you had this spirit fluid. Anybody remember the old spirit fluid? Kind of had one of those, whoa, you smell that a little bit too much, and you get a little bit loopy in the head. And you could always tell when somebody spent too much time at the mimeograph machine when they come out. But you see, when I look at it, ministry today is much different. We don't have mimeograph machines, and if you did have it, you probably couldn't find the spirit fluid for it. But now we have podcasts, and we have live webcasts. We have on-demand video of all kinds of messages and preachings and teachings, and we've got websites and online school and internet radio, internet TV, and you can be preaching here, or you can be teaching here, and you can have a laptop in front of you, and you can be Skyping to someone that's 10,000 miles away. Ministry has changed. But these methods and resources that we have now can be used to help build our ministries and even grow us personally. But you see, not all technology is wrong, by the way. So here we have Elijah. He's faced with the decision to stay with the old or enhance it with the new. I want you to understand something here. I did not say get rid of the old. because there's some things that are in our yesterday that's very, very important. When we look at some of these things, I appreciate our past. We're coming up on our 75th anniversary here at Calvary Gospel Church, and we wouldn't be here in our present if there weren't saints of God that were living for God and preaching and teaching in our past. So it's very important. So here we have Elijah faced with a decision to stay or to go. He could have stayed at the dry brook and began to reminisce on how God used to come at the brook and the ravens would come every day. And he would talk about, maybe every now and then he would mutter, "I remember when the ravens used to bring me this and used to bring me that." Perhaps he was thinking about the old days and things are not how they used to be. We have people that are that way. Sometimes they get stuck in the old. They say, "Well, I remember when God, man, we used to have services." Well, you know, we still have those services. But you see, at one time, perhaps you were on fire for the Lord and you were sold out for Jesus. And you did radical things for him, but time has come and time has gone. And your brook has dried up. And you have not allowed God to reposition you to the next level in which he's calling you. You see, we need to remember the old and how God moved in our lives back then. But if the brook has dried up in your life, it's time to enhance it with the new. And that's what I like about Elijah. We can learn a very valuable lesson here tonight. He didn't camp out at the dry brook reminiscing on how God used to move or how God used to come to him every day. But Elijah got a word from God for his next move. He got a direction on what to do next. He got a word, and God gave him an opportunity to solve his problem. You see, sometimes we can get in a rut. We can get stuck. Elijah did not allow himself to get in a rut or to get stuck. He got a hold of God and he cried out to God in his dry season. I think if we're all honest here tonight and we're all going to face dry seasons in our lives, some of us here tonight may be in a dry season. You may be upset or frustrated at the fact that the pastor keeps talking about positioning and changing, and you don't like how the season or the situations that you're in. You see, sometimes God will give us what I like to call a divine dissatisfaction. That's where that God is seeking to change us. He desires to change us. It's not the enemy that's trying to move us, but it's God that's trying to move us. So he will give us a God given divine dissatisfaction in our lives, and we try to take it out and blame it on the devil. But it's God trying to say, "Would you please change? Would you please move? I'm giving you a season. I'm giving you an opportunity. I'm giving you a place to go." You see, God wanted to do new things in Elijah. He wasn't finished with Elijah yet, and he's not finished as long as you are here and you are breathing and you have the Holy Ghost burning inside of you. God is not finished with you yet. Even if you don't have the Holy Ghost burning inside of you, God is not finished with you yet. You see, God had another mission for Elijah to accomplish. He wanted to give Elijah a spiritual upgrade. I wonder how many of us tonight really desire a spiritual upgrade. Just like we upgrade our phones, they do it automatically now. My phone is sitting in my office right now, and it's on the church Wi-Fi because I'm waiting for a security update to come through sometime during the service, because my phone's been telling me for weeks now I need to update and have a security patch put on my phone. I don't have a clue what all that means, but it's just laying in there now waiting for that moment. It's being upgraded. I hope tonight as you listen to this message and you apply it to your life that this is the beginning of an upgrade. You see, God wanted to give him a spiritual upgrade. You see, you don't have to be broke. Understand this. You don't have to be broke or broken. You don't have to. My phone is in perfect working order. It's not broken. Everything is working fine on it. It just needs an upgrade. And everything can be fine in your life. Everything can be going well, but it doesn't mean that you are where God wants you and desires you to be, because he says, listen, if you're going to go where I want you to go, if Elijah was going to step into the next phase of his life, it demanded an upgrade from God. Sometimes we need a spiritual upgrade on the way that we do ministry. You see, sometimes what we do in our ministry has gotten us this far, but where God desires to take us, this is very, very critical. Where God desires to take us, if we're not willing to upgrade and everyone else is upgrading, then you become in a position where that instead of being an asset to the body of Christ, you can become a hindrance to the body of Christ. That's a really hard thing sometimes for us to understand. You may not be broken, but you need an upgrade. And we need to get a hold of God and see what his next move is for our lives. Show us where the next source. I've been praying this very, very intently since January of this year. God, I know you're changing. I know you're moving. I know you're shifting. Show me where we are going. Help me to understand. Help me to lead. Help me to guide. Help me to direct your people. We need to hear from God. You need to hear from God. I can hear from God collectively as a church we need to go, but you need to hear from God so you know where you are supposed to go as God repositions and changes and shifts the entire body. You see, we're sending teams into our community. We're sending teams over. When we look at Calvary Gospel Church, we have people all over our city that are ministering. We're sending people overseas, our young people. We've got some young people that are going to Fiji, I believe, coming up this summer. And we're wanting to impact our county, and we want to impact our whole entire state, our section, our continent, for the glory and the honor of Jesus Christ. I want us to say upgrade tonight. Can we all say upgrade? Explain when we look at this, and we have our leadership. Some folks have asked, you know, we've been having Brother Thompson here. What's this all about? Well, for a number of our people, we're receiving upgrades. Okay, and I want to explain this to this. If you weren't invited, it's not because you're overlooked. It's just we can only take so many people at a time because our facility is not large enough to do this. So when I sat down with Brother Thompson and we agreed to do this a year ago, we agreed to a maximum amount of people that he could take. So I took people that it was most crucial that they receive an upgrade. All right? Doesn't mean that you're not important. Doesn't mean that you're not wanted and we don't look at you the same way. But if you're going to upgrade some things in your life, you have to prioritize. And I had to make a decision. So we made a decision. And I'm very excited that our elders and the leaders, elder leaders in our church and such, are very, very on board with what we are doing, because what we're trying to do here, not trying to do, what we are doing, is we're taking a lot of our younger couples that are in ministry at various levels, and we're teaching them and we're training them, and we're going to send them out all around the community. We're preparing them for growth, okay? It is very crucial that they get this education, this training first, because they're going to be the ones on the front lines. And as they go out and they begin to grow and minister in our communities, we've got, as I said, we started our work down in Stoughton. It's doing very, very well. And we have a work in Marshall that is doing very well. We also are starting a work in McFarland, and they're well on their way. And we're starting a work in Deerfield, and the team in Deerfield is well on their way. Now, these are young couples that a few years ago were not involved in a lot of these areas in our church, but God has called them. And we have to teach them, and we have to train them. But it's not just important that we teach and train them. We have to teach and train them as they are sent out. We have to have another layer of people, another layer of ministry, because we just can't send everybody out because we'd have nobody here. So we have to be able to take and plan this. We have to make sure that we manage this in a correct way. And I'm very excited, but I'm very cautious because we only have so much time. We're limited in our time. And we are in the age, and I talked to our staff about this on Tuesday. We're in the age and the time frame right now that simple addition will no longer work as God desires to grow his church. We're going to have to start thinking in terms of multiplication. If we're going to get to where God wants us to go, it can't be 2 plus 2 equals 4. It has to be 2 times 2. It has to be 4 times 4, 6 times 6. It's much different. It changes rather rapidly as you add more numbers. So when we look at what we have been doing so far, what we've been doing in the past has gotten us where we are right now. But church, I believe it's time for us to upgrade. It's time for us to change how we do things. What has gotten us here has worked to get us here, but it's not going to work to get us to where God is desiring to take us. You see, when we look at 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 4, as we look over and over in this passage, we're going to find one word that keeps popping out at us. And that shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. 17:5, so he did what the Lord had told him. He went to Kerith ravine east of the Jordan and stayed there. Verse 9, he was instructed to leave. And he says to go to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. I have directed a widow there to supply you with food. I want you to just look at your neighbor and say, are you there yet? You see, we have to understand, that was pretty weak. Say it a little bit louder. I could hardly hear you. Are you there yet? Are we there yet? Sound desperate like you've been sitting in a car for 22 hours. Are we there yet? You see, the blessing, understand, was in the there. All Elijah had to do was get there. The blessing was not there before he got there. But God said, once you get there, I have commanded the blessing, I have commanded the resource, I have commanded everything that you need to sustain what I have told you to do will be there. It will be there. Sometimes we say, God, I don't see it. It's because you're not there yet. You see, the blessings are not there now. They will be there when we get there. You see, that's where faith steps in. Without faith, elder, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, is it impossible to see there when we get there? Church, it's our time. It's our time. See, when we're saying it's our time, what we are saying is there's a window of opportunity that has opened up for us, and all we need to do is get there. Elijah had a small window of opportunity because a widow was waiting with a sick and starving son was waiting, and God had the resources that Elijah, the prophet, needed, and the answers were waiting for both Elijah and the widow and her son. You see how God puts this all together? If Elijah wouldn't have listened to God, and if Elijah wouldn't have left the brook, no doubt he would have starved to death at the brook, and the widow would have starved to death as well as her son. But God says, I got a plan here, but in order for this plan to work, Elijah, you've got to get there. You see, we look at our city. We look at our state. We look at our country. Our country is just ripe for the church to get there. You see, we look in our city, we've got drug problems, gang problems, there's hurting families, there's people that have trusted in social programs for decades, and those programs have run out of money, and they're no longer meeting the needs, or they never met the needs, and everything is corrupt. You see, our city needs to be reached. And guess what, church? We have the answer. We have the answer. And his name is Jesus Christ. God has already given us the anointing. God has given us the anointing. I'm praying as we have some men right now on their way out to the Bighorn Mountains for a Man Up adventure. I've just been praying that God would give them an anointing and they would come back new men, because there's something about the mountaintop anointing. When you're on the mountaintop with God, it's something about just what you feel, how you feel it, and what God does. Not in saying that the valleys of our life are not important, but you say, we have to get there. And I want to know tonight, is anybody willing to get there? You say, yeah, I've been through some dry brooks and some dry times, Pastor, but I'm on my way there. You can say, we have had opposition. And we have had opposition come against us. But listen, church, I'm still on my way there. The ravens may not have stopped by in a while, but listen, I need to get out of my way because I'm on my way there. If Elijah had stayed at the dry brook, that's probably where his story would have ended. You see, and I know a dry brook has tried at times to keep us stuck. It's tried to discourage us. It's tried to give opposition to us. But we must trust God. We must encourage one another. And that all we have to do is follow after God. You see, because God has already commanded the blessing. There was a widow waiting for Elijah to show up. There are neighborhoods, cities and towns and neighborhoods within our county that are crying out. But we're afraid at times because we don't understand. And we say, well, God, I don't have this or I don't have that. Listen, watch out, fear, because we need to get there. Watch out, doubt. Because we're getting there. Get out of my way because I need to get there. A dry season perhaps in your life has discouraged you, but I'm about to get there. The setbacks that have tried to throw me off track, I'm about to get there. There is there. I'm on my way to there. The provision is already in the air. All I got to do is get there. Brother Hawk, God's got revival coming for Revival Ridge. You're there. Your provision is there. I want us to stand tonight. You see, the challenge for some of us, hear me out on this, because this is This is something that I let the enemy just slaughter me at times because I get stuck. I get stuck in the same old route and routine every day. We're creatures of habit. The enemy knows where he can tempt us. We go to Quick Trip in the morning and there's a good-looking gal that checks out and you know what? We're going to look for her line. I'm just being real here. I really don't go to Quick Trip every morning, but I'm just using examples of how the enemy, because the enemy knows us. He knows our faults. He knows our struggles. He knows that if we get frustrated easy and perhaps we say things that aren't real godly, I'm not saying that they're bad, like sailor words. He knows. You know what we need to start doing, Brother Seidel? We need to start throwing the enemy off and start changing our routine. Get up in the first thing you get up in the morning, instead of opening up the blinds, brushing your teeth, you need to get up, you need to run outside, put your hands in the air, and say, God, we're going to get there today! I can feel it! Then the enemy that was sent to attack you, all of a sudden you just knock him right off. See, I believe that when the disciples were at the upper room, when the Holy Ghost fell, it threw Satan completely for a loop, because this wasn't what he was expecting. He was expecting discouragement to step in. He's like, I got 120 of them now. His faithful followers are all together. Now I can get there and I can begin to tempt them. I can begin to frustrate them. I know how to get at Peter. I know how to get a reaction out of him. And if I can get... But what ends up happening? They begin to pray. And as they begin to pray, listen, the Holy Ghost came before they got the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost was flowing before it flowed out of them in a different tongue. To see, I'd like to ask you tonight, are you there yet? Are you there yet? Are there any preachers in the building that are ready to get there? You say, well, God hasn't really, I don't know if God's called me to preach. Well, just might be wrong on that. Might be fear because you want to hang out at the brook just a little while longer. And the longer you hang out, the weaker you get because you're not getting the nourishment that you need. Are there any preachers in the building that are ready to go there? Do we have any folks that are willing to step out into their communities, into their neighborhoods? And say, God, I'm ready to get there. Are there any trailblazers that are ready to get there? I'm ready, church. I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know where our provision is going to be, but it's going to be when we get there, Brother Seidel. So we got to get there. So I just want us to just make our way to the altar tonight. Say, God, I don't know where I fit into all of this. I don't know how I fit into all this. But I'm not going to sit here and rot away by a brook that is dried up. I'm not for sure where there is right now, but I'm going to start praying. I'm going to commit my life to you. And wherever there is, I will follow. And whatever you've asked me to do when I get there, if I don't have the resources, my resources will be there when I get there.
You are mine. Oh, Let me walk.